ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
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 मामुपेच्य पुनर्जन्म दुःखालयं शाश्वतम् नाप्नुवन्ति
महात्माना
संसिद्धिं परमां गतिः संसिद्धिं परमां गताः. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained to the highest perfection, purport by Srila Prabhupada. Since this temporary material world is full of miseries of birth, old age, disease, and death, naturally, he who achieves the highest perfection does not wish to return. The supreme planet is described in Vedic literature. The supreme planet is described in Vedic literature as avyakta and akshara and paramagati. In other words, that planet is beyond our material vision, and it is inexplicable, but it is the highest goal, the destination for the Mahatmas, or great souls. The Mahatmas receive transcendental messages from the realized devotees, and thus gradually develop devotional service in Krishna consciousness and become so absorbed in transcendental service that they no longer desire elevation to any one of the material planets, nor do they even want to be transferred to any spiritual planet. Why not? They only want Krishna and Krishna's association and nothing else. That is the highest perfection of life. This verse specifically mentions the personalist devotees of the Lord, Krishna. These devotees in Krishna consciousness achieve the highest perfection of life. In other words, they are the supreme souls. Mamupetyu punarjanma dukkhalayam ashashvatam napnuvanti mahatmanaha samsiddhim paramam gataha. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, and because they have attained the highest perfection. You ever heard the question that says, it's a two-way question. One side of the question is, it's like the fall of the jiva question. You know that one. It was so good in the spiritual world. Why did we come here? And the answer is, there's no good reason. It's like, there isn't a good reason. Don't expect a good reason, because there isn't one. It's just misuse of free will. Yeah, but why would we misuse free will if it's so nice there? It's very unreasonable. You're right, it's very unreasonable. And then the other way, well, what about when we return to the spiritual world? You know, is it not possible if we can fall once, why don't we fall again? How come Krishna says, you heard that one before? Krishna says, janma karma chimi, no. Janma karma chime divyam evam yoveti tatvata chaktvadeham purnar janma naiti mameti sorjana. You don't come back. Well, if you can fall once, why, if you go back, how come you can't fall again? Right? Something like that. You get the question? And the answer is in the purport. Actually, the answer is in the verse. Simple way the Prabhupada says it is they've learned their lesson. And which means you can't go back until you've learned your lesson. You can't go back until you've really clearly understood this is not a proper place to be. I won't say it the other way. As long as there's a desire, this fruitive desire that says, I want to enjoy, you're not going back. As long as that remains. Bhukti, mukti, siddhi, kami, sakale ashanta. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke in this way. The desire for sense gratification. That's one kind of I want to enjoy. Or mukti. I want to enjoy the happiness of being released from the material clutches. Or the possessing mystic powers. Siddhis. Those are subtle, very powerful, subtle, but material desires. So to get release from that bondage to trying to be the enjoyer, and even enjoy the spiritual position of liberation, even that has to be surpassed. Which means, then the other side is, when you've returned to the spiritual atmosphere, you don't make the same mistake again. It's not like, in other words, it's not like prayaschitta. You know what prayaschitta is? Atonement. Some, all religions have, I was just hearing Prabhupada explain in a recorded lecture, that all religions have it. Something. Sin, atoning for sin. So going back to Godhead is not just a matter of atoning for the mistakes that we've made. You know, the fundamental mistake of misuse of free will. It's not just atoning for that. Gee, I'm sorry. When coming out of Mayapur and just before reaching the airport in Calcutta, there was a huge billboard of somebody kneeling in prayer, kind of a dark background behind them, and then a distant light of the morning rays of the sun or something like that. And something, you know, at the time of death, offer mighty prayers for the mercy of God. And it seemed like a generic, not just like, you know, a Christian message, but anyone could appreciate that one. When the day of judgment comes, better pray for some mercy. But so not just that. The verse is describing the position of devotional service. Not just forgiveness for the tendency that I've misused, the tendency of having free will and misusing it. Please forgive me for that misuse of free will. But be reinstated in your proper position of serving Krishna. So here's how Prabhupada says it in the purport. First line of the purport. Since this temporary material world is full of miseries, of birth, death, old age, and disease, naturally he who achieves the highest perfection and attains the supreme planet, Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan, does not wish to return. That you don't misuse your free will again. Very specifically, this is like a nice philosophical understanding that in the spiritual world, when we go back to Godhead, free will is still there. We still have we're still marginal potency, which means we can become influenced again. The potential is there. It's like, you know, just put it in physics terms. Here's a pair of cartels sitting on the Vyasasan here, or asana. So now we lift it up, the potential is it can fall. Because it got lifted up. The potential is there to fall. The free will of the living entity is there in the spiritual world to once again misuse free will. The potential is there. But we won't do it. That's one part of that, the answer to that question. We've learned our lesson. The potential is there to misuse, but we learned we're not going to do that again. And another part of the answer to that question is, Krishna gives his promise. Now, some people don't like that answer because they say, well, why do you have to like mess up before you get back and then Krishna gives his promise? Why not just like Krishna gives his promise? Because he knows what the misery is, so why didn't he just like, you know, give his promise before we even messed up? Such people are a little unreasonable. So that's addressed in this question, in this purport. Another very nice thing is addressed in the purport. Why is it that a devotee, if offered, because it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it's not elaborated here, but mentioned here, if a devotee is offered, there's five kinds of liberation, yes? And one of them is hellish. That's merging with the existence of Brahman. Sayuja Mukti, where that means no devotional service, hellish, forget it. A devotee considers that. Then there's four other kinds. Attaining the planet of the Supreme Lord, attaining opulences like the Supreme Lord, attaining direct association of the Supreme Lord, Salokya, Sarupya, Samipya, Sharasti, opulences like the Lord. If offered such liberation, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the devotee says no. Would you say no? You can only say no if you have what is described in the verse, or purport, rather. The devotee says no because they only want one thing. They want Krishna's association. They want Krishna. It's not, I want Krishna's association. I want Krishna's service. Which means, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, mama janmani janmanishvare. He just, birth after birth, it's not, I want to attain this destination. I want your service. So, we're not there, but that's what the verse is describing. When one gets there, such a person doesn't care for anything. I mean, they can, whatever Krishna wants. Because they only want one thing. They want what Krishna wants. They want Krishna's service. They want Krishna's association. Because a servant only wants what the master wants. That's what a servant is. In nectar devotion, just like the fundamental principle of service is Pradyumna. He exhibits this, Krishna's son. If Krishna didn't want something and Pradyumna wanted something, then Pradyumna did what Krishna wanted. And vice versa. If Krishna didn't want something and Pradyumna wanted something, he wouldn't do that something because Krishna didn't want that something. That's dasya rasa. And that dasya, that spirit, continues into all of the other rasas. There's so many nice examples in Lord Chaitanya's Leela, for example. We're going to be observing Gaur Purnima very soon. In Lord Chaitanya's Leela, many situations where he would give some service to someone that meant service and separation. And they didn't want separation. They wanted service in his presence. But if he gave them service and separation, then they... what are you to do? Service and separation. Lokanath was a childhood associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya knew that he was going to take sannyas. So he told his dear friend Lokanath, you go to Vrindavan. I'm going to be taking sannyas, and after I take sannyas, I'm going to Vrindavan. So you go to Vrindavan and make a place ready so I can just be with you in Vrindavan. Wonderful service, but that meant separation from Lord Chaitanya. He didn't want separation from Lord Chaitanya, but he had to say yes. And the net result was he didn't again get Lord Chaitanya's association. Lord Chaitanya didn't go to Vrindavan. He went to Puri. And when Lokanath heard that he had gone to Puri, he left Vrindavan and went to Puri. And when he got to Puri, Lord Chaitanya had left to go on a South India tour. So he went, trying to follow him in a South India tour. And by then, Lord Chaitanya came back to Puri. And then when he came back to Puri, when Lokanath came back to Puri, Lord Chaitanya had gone to Vrindavan. And by the time he reached Vrindavan, Lord Chaitanya had left Vrindavan. He just... And Lord Chaitanya appeared to him in a dream and said, you just stay here in Vrindavan. But that's love, where you serve because the beloved makes this request, or the master makes the request, or the object of my service attitude is making some request. And that's your life and soul. Whatever it may mean. If it means hardship, whatever it may mean. Whatever it may mean. We're not there. We have conditions. Yes, as long as it matches my conditions. And no, if it doesn't match my conditions. or I'm working on getting there, or something like that. But what the verse, Mamo Petu Punar Janma Dukkalayam Ashashvatam. Na, one doesn't take birth again. And one doesn't experience dukkha, distress. In the purport also, Prabhupada is mentioning these three words, avyakta, akshara, and paramagati. But we know what avyakta is, unmanifest. The spiritual world is eternally manifest. That avyakta means not manifest for our vision. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, this is, now you see it, now you don't. Like a magic trick. Here's the hat. See, there's no rabbit. You pull out the rabbit. There's the rabbit. Pull the rabbit back, put him in the hat. There's no rabbit. Like that. Just like, now you see it, now you don't. And the spiritual world is substantial. But we just, you know, ignorance, we see things the opposite way. This is manifest. This is like, you know, this is real. The other is not real. Show me. So, the spiritual realm, the personality of Godhead and his loving service is not manifest to mundane vision. And Akshara, there's a Prabhupada named one of his disciples, a godbrother in Australia, name is Akshara. Here's how Prabhupada paraphrases that one. Inexplicable. How do you explain the inexplicable? There's another Sanskrit phrase, nirvachaniya. Vacha means to say, and nirvachaniya, you can't say it. It's so beyond description, you can't describe it. In the Jewish faith, they have a similar notion that says God's name is so powerful, a mortal cannot utter it. So God has no name. There are things that describe him, but there's not. His name is too powerful. So like that, we can. It's not poetry, where poetry uses alankar, metaphors and similes, where like Rupa Goswami's writings describing Srimati Radharani. Her hair is like this, her eyes are like that, her teeth are like this, and so on. Something that's most exquisite of this world, it just gives you an idea. It's in that direction. Like this. Because that's something that's within our experience is helping us understand something that's beyond our experience. At the same time that the spiritual world is indescribable, there's descriptions. It's like achintya veda abheda tattva. Achintya means inconceivable. Saying so, and the mind can't conceive it, the words can't describe it. But then after saying achintya, then there's the conception, beta abeda. Or in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings, when he was teaching Lord Chaitanya's teachings to village people in Bengal that couldn't read, he did so in the form of songs, and then he would teach the village elder that could read, the brahmana, through question and answer. He would describe the various potencies of the personality of Godhead and describe that the potencies are unlimited and inconceivable, and then would proceed to describe them. So one of the questions in the question-answer session is, wait a minute, I thought you said this is inconceivable, but it's all explained and it's quite understandable. So why do you say inconceivable? He gives a very beautiful answer. He says, we can describe what's happening, but when the energy starts to move, then it becomes inconceivable. You can't. You can analyze it in a you know, cause and effect kind of a way, but when the energies of the Lord are moving, it's all inconceivable. Just like, for example, being in Maya. We can talk about what the effect of being in Maya is. But, you know, we're in Maya, so how do you separate yourself from Maya when you're in Maya? How do you understand what being in Maya is? Because we're under the control. That's like, in the early days of our movement, that was a popular phrase. Ah, there so and so is in Maya. But, or the Karmis, they're just in Maya. But in Maya means under the influence of the Lord's deluding potency. And unless we're what this verse is describing, we're also, to some degree, in Maya, or under the influence of some misconception of our true identity, and trying to function that way, trying to carry out our duties as best we can, knowing that the conception that we're carrying is not exactly right. But what do? We have to do something, so we do the best we can. Because we're going to be under the influence of the internal or the external potency. And we're striving for the internal potency. The real success of our devotional practice is that we become attached to Krishna. Like the illiterate Brahmin in Sri Rangam, you know that pastime. When Lord Chaitanya was in Sri Rangam, he saw one Brahmin reading Bhagavad Gita. And the Brahmin was crying. And so Lord Chaitanya came to him and asked, my dear Brahmin, what is it that you're reading in Bhagavad Gita that's causing you to cry? And the Brahmin thought he was another one of those Brahmins that make fun of him, because the Brahmins, the others, they knew he couldn't read. He would, once Prabhupada said, he would just make sound, rah, 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 because he couldn't read the words. But he said, oh, please don't tease me in this way. You're obviously a very elevated Vaishnava and a sannyasi. Please don't make fun of me. He said, I'm not making fun of you. I'm asking why you're crying. He said, I'm illiterate. My spiritual master ordered me to read all 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita every day. I have to follow the order of my spiritual master, but I don't know how to read. So I make these sounds, reading Bhagavad Gita. Well, if you don't read, if you're not literate, you can't read Bhagavad Gita, why are you crying? Same question. Because as soon as I'm holding Bhagavad Gita in my hand and I'm thinking of how kind is Krishna, that his own devotee, he becomes the chariot driver of his own devotee. He has such love for his devotee. I become overwhelmed and tears just come to my eyes, thinking of how kind, how merciful is Krishna. You are the real scholar of Bhagavad Gita. So, we're reading a verse from Bhagavad Gita, and the message is, become attached to Krishna. And when you become attached to Krishna, you're not attached to anything else. You can't say that about anything else. You can become attached to the cartels. That, oh, I'm a good cartel player. Or the other way around, I can't play as good as he does. Or something. Without whatever it is, because the consciousness of the soul naturally has its position in relation to Krishna. If we're not in that position in relation to Krishna, dukkhalayam, place of suffering. But becoming attached to Krishna takes you beyond all that. Paramgati, the other phrase that's here. That which is not manifest, you can enter into. That he who is beyond description, you can describe him. You can know him. You can experience his loving association. Paramgati, the supreme goal. Okay, 5 minutes to nine. Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Any discussion?
In this verse, there is a specific mention of Golok.
Yeah, Prabhupada's taking us to Goloka, that's why.
So is it same for the devotees who are the sadhakas?
No.
Who go for Sarupya and stuff?
Not the same.
So they can fall back again?
No, they won't fall back again. They're satisfied. But Prabhupada's taking us to Goloka. Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Attachment to Krishna. It is said that wherever there is sun, there is no darkness. Prabhupada says this.
Yeah.
So when we are developing relationship with Krishna, is that gradually we are from away from Maya, or immediately we are away, again we go in, again we come out?
Generally it's gradually. It's possible it's immediate. But generally it's gradually. Generally it's gradually because we're attached.
As you were mentioning, in the process of pleasing a beloved, generally in the conditioned state, as long as our choices match, we go for that and we reject that process, to please a beloved. In the conditioned state, we observe this phenomenon that as long as our choices match of what is asked for us,
yeah,
we do it, otherwise not.
Yeah.
I am seeing that it requires a lot of tolerance when what we don't like is asked for us to do. So how can we increase that tolerance capacity?
Well, in the beginning, intermediate, and advanced. So the beginning stage is you just tolerate. And it's like, giving up sense gratification. Give up sense gratification because I should give up sense gratification, although I may be attracted to it. The highest stage is out of love. We're not there. But so we have some sense of wanting to please another person beyond just like do it because you're supposed to. But wanting to please another person, that's powerful. It may not be like the highest stages of love of Godhead, but it's very powerful. It protects us from those lower tendencies. We were appreciating Lokanath Maharaj. He was giving his report, Padyatra ministry report. And it started out, you know, real simple, and it just, like, he just started expanding and, you know, explaining what's going on around the world with Padyatra. And he got a standing ovation because, you know, then somebody stood up and said, this is such a nice example. Way back long ago, Prabhupada requested Lokanath Maharaj get a bullock cart and go village to village. Now look what we have. He just took an instruction that Prabhupada gave him, and he's made it his life and soul. Now it's like all over the world. I forget the number of miles. Some like huge number of miles of Padyatra just in 1 year, and what to speak of. So it's just, there's austerity. It's not easy. But instruction Prabhupada gave. Here's another one. Ambarish. There's a little video clip of Prabhupada with, there's Lekha Shravanti, who is Walter Ruther's daughter, the auto workers union in charge, Walter Ruther and his daughter, and Henry Ford and his grandson sitting in the room, and Prabhupada's talking about Mayapur, and In a lighthearted way, Prabhupada is describing what he'd like, and everyone's like, wow, wow. And he turns to Ambarish and said, and you should build it. And he, you know, like this, everyone laughed, and he said, yes, Prabhupada. And that one, it was light, but he took it as his life and soul. And, you know, he's pouring $30 million. I don't know what that is in rupees, but it's a lot of rupees. As he says, you know, the hard-earned wealth of my ancestors is fulfilling that room conversation, light instruction or request. It was half joking and half serious, and he took it serious. Why? He wanted to please Prabhupada, his life and soul. And it's not been without obstacles, hardship, opposition, outside and even inside. But one driving force, pleasing, person who he loves. Okay, I'm going to end there. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.